Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. You can, of course, read them in Bleacher Report and The Athletic. You hear them all over The Score. And he's got a story up right now on Tarik Cohen on the Bleacher Report that is well worth reading, as is all of his stuff. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We've got more characters. We've got more sunlight. We've got more wins in the second half for the Bears, it looks like. It's a good morning. Good day.
Well, you know what? Tarik Cohen's a very interesting case study because, you know, we were talking about this a while ago, Dan. I think that this kid, by virtue of being like probably the smallest player on all his teams, forever, is almost like prepared for the NFL in a weird way. He's used to being the little guy. He's used to being the guy that has to overcome whatever his size deficit is. What a great jump that is from the level he played at to this level. It's nothing new to him. Whereas a guy like Adam Shaheen, we talked about, is a guy that, you know, probably dominated with size at that lower level. And now everybody's his size, and it's a much more difficult transition.
I think, you know, one of the things with Tarik Cohen is that his limitation or his weakness, if you will, becomes his strength, right? Because of exactly what you're talking about. He's the smallest guy on the field, which gives him a mentality that is unlike anyone else. He knows what he is, and he knows how to overcome it. And it has made him really feel like the biggest guy on the field. And there's some interesting things about him that I learned in the course of doing this story. For instance, when he was a little kid, he started out as a middle linebacker, even though he's the smallest kid on the
wow.
field. And at one point, he played nose guard when he was in middle school. because he was small and quick, and he was able to get around people and get to the quarterback. So I think, you're dealing with a really different guy, who is not, is not the same as the other players in terms of how he thinks. And the other thing, even though he's short at 5'6", you know, he's got a 33-inch waist. He's got size 10 shoes. And how about this? His hands were measured, I think, 10 1/8, if I'm not mistaken. They were the second biggest hands of any running back at the combine last spring. There was one player who was drafted by the Browns. He had bigger hands. His hands are considerably bigger than Leonard Fournette's. So he's an interesting guy on a lot of different fronts.
Yeah, I'm always leery of people who speak of themselves in the third person, and people come to, you know, town or to a team with more than one nickname. But he seems to have really not only belong here, but he also seems to be handling as defenses adapt to what he's been doing and maybe catching them by surprise early in the season. He seems to be taking it in stride and kind of rolling with those punches and adapting to what his role on this team will be moving forward.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in the last few games, his touches are down a little bit. His snaps are down a little bit. But I think that's going to reverse itself now. I know I talked with John Fox the other day. As a matter of fact, wrote a story that's going to be out, Q&A with Fox, about the first half and the second half. It'll be on the Athletics website later today. And one of the things he talked about was the bye gave them a chance to kind of evaluate and figure out what defenses were doing differently. Defenses adjusted to Cohen a little bit. And I think we saw that with some of his yards per carry drop as the first half went on. He said, we saw that. Now we're able to maybe make some counter adjustments And it's going to be interesting to see how he's used against the Packers and moving forward in the second half. But he's continued to make big plays in almost every game. And I think he's one of those guys who, you know, you look every game the Bears have won, he's done something that has, like, shifted the tide and really made a difference. And that's the kind of player he is. He's, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, you could say that Jordan Howard has been, you know, the MVP and the heartbeat of the offense, and all of that is absolutely true. But Cohen has been the guy who really has kind of lit the fire, I think, every time that there has been a fire. And I think that's probably going to be a trend that continues.
What, Dan, when you look at the Packers and in previous years, we've seen the Packers suffer through a problem. You know, Matt Flynn ended up making a ton of money by being a guy that made a couple of appearances behind Aaron Rodgers. What has changed? I mean, how much has Rodgers covered for whatever errors there are, whatever flaws the Packers have? It's extraordinary to see the difference in this team with Aaron Rodgers without him.
Yeah, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers continues to win the MVP votes every time Brent Huntley plays, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when Peyton Manning got hurt in Indy. I mean, it really is that dramatic a difference.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you're talking about a drop-off from perhaps the best quarterback of an era to a kid who never has played before. I mean, it's not like replacing Aaron Rodgers with, you know, Matt Stafford or, you know, another NFL quarterback who's experienced, or, you know, even a guy who hasn't had great success in the NFL, but at least has been on the field some. You're talking about a guy who really, you know, has not proven himself and probably is not an NFL starting caliber quarterback based on the small sample size that we've seen. You know, I know the Packers coaches had some confidence in him before he got out there and played, but they also had some trepidation about him, too. He didn't have the best preseason in the world. So, you know, I think there were some red flags about Brent Huntley moving in. So, you know, the drop-off is huge, and the Packers were having some other issues even with Rodgers in there, and I think now all of those issues have been exacerbated, and you know, it's easier to see the flaws when you're not playing with a lead and you're not in a situation where you always have confidence you could come back from a mistake, and people start to stress and do things they shouldn't do, and the whole house of cards comes down. That's what has happened in the last couple of games with the Packers.
He's Dan Pompey. This segment of our show brought to us by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And Dan, Mr. Mulligan wrote a very good column yet again in the Tribune today and called if you lose this game, which should be a considered an unambiguous humiliation, it's an unacceptable outcome. And your favorite, this is a Packers team with three losses, consecutive losses, heading down here to Soldier Field. They don't have Aaron Rodgers, as we've been discussing. You know, I don't know how jacked Bears fans should be if you win this game, because you should win this game. And if you lose this game, I'm with Molly here. I mean, there's no explaining it away. That changes everything about this team.
You know what's interesting, Brian, is that the entire this is the first time, and I don't know how long, where the entire mood is different going into a Bears game, where they're expected to win, and if they don't win, like you said, there's going to be, you know, wow, the Bears really disappointed us, and they're not what they're supposed to be, and you know, we had it wrong about them. Up to this point, anything good they've done has kind of been gravy. You know, no one expected them to win. They were underdogs in every game in the first half of the season. So this is a new challenge now, you know. Dealing with a little bit of success, and it has been just a little bit, puts the Bears in an entirely different situation. I think, what's the stat? This is the first time they were favored over the Packers in how many years? Something like, I don't know, many, many years.
Yeah, and so, again, you're coming off the bye. They're coming off a short week. They're 3-7-1 with Rodgers. I mean, everything says.
And the danger is, Dan, that the way they play, you know, by playing a conservative game plan, by concentrating on winning on defense, by you know, using the run game, by not opening up the passing game, that is going to allow opponents to stay in games. You know, it's a, you know, Green Bay can score 17. Can the Bears score their 21? Yeah, it's just a weird confluence of events, really.
It really is. You know, and I think, you know, a couple things. I mean, the Bears have to continue to take the ball away, which is not always something that you can take for granted. I mean, you can do everything right and not get takeaways sometimes. But that has been so critical to everything that they've done that has given them success. And the other thing, I think they continue to need to evolve offensively and try to stretch themselves and do some things that they weren't able to do previously. You know, they need to the more they do the same thing over and over again, the easier it's going to be for defenses to beat them. So, you know, I know it's hard when you've got the group of players they have, and now that much has been said about it other than the emotional part of it, but they're without Zach Miller, who was, I believe, their leading receiver
right.
in terms of reception. So, you know, that's another adjustment they have to make and try to figure things out. I know John Fox is very anxious to get Dontrell Inman out there. He's very anxious to get Marcus Wheaton back perhaps this week. And those are things, you know, those two guys probably are the Bears' best wide receivers if they're out there, even though Wheaton hasn't done anything yet in the time that he has been out there. But it's going to take time. I think even if Wheaton is healthy, for both of those guys to really get back in the swing of things and to get acclimated to Trubisky and the speed of the game and everything they're doing. So neither one of them has played much this year. But I think, you know, you have to hope to make incremental gains in a lot of different areas on offense so that you are better than you were in the first half.
I think it's the first time the Bears have been favored in 9 years.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Against the Packers. It's pretty
well. You've been going against Rodgers in every one of those games, you know.
Yeah, so exactly.
It makes perfect sense. And you know, I mean, the last time the Bears really had an edge in the rivalry was probably for a brief period in the, you know, the years where they were a Super Bowl contender, right? In when Lovie Smith was the coach. And
right.
They had things going there.
Lovie knew how to beat them. Just ask him.
Yeah.
All righty, Dan. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
That's
it.
Our guy, Dan Pompey. Again, his story on Tara Cohen on Bleacher Report, and he's got a Q&A with Foxy coming up on The Athletic. Hopefully we can see that before we get out of here. I'm sure we'll be talking about it tomorrow. Always good stuff with Dan. 312-644-6767. Would a loss here ruin the Bears' season, in your opinion? Have the expectations changed? Is it the Bears doing better? Is it the Packers doing worse? What's it like having your team be a favorite for a change? 312-644-6767. Mully and Haley on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to The Score, and the Bears face the Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field on Sunday, and the Packers, of course, minus their all-star quarterback, their Pro Bowl quarterback, their MVP quarterback, and they're a different team as a result of it. And all of a sudden, the roles shift a little here, and the Bears, who came into the season as a massive underdog, a three-win team, are now favored over the Green Bay Packers. The Vegas oddmakers say they are a three-point favorite. You get three for being at home. The Bears really need to win this game if they're going to legitimize their first half of the season and legitimize a lot of the statements that they've made about getting back in the division race, about being a team that can vie for a playoff spot, about the success that they've had. No one wants to hear it. No one wants to, you know, no one likes the idea that now it's time to put up. But guess what? This is a game. If you really do want all the coaches back, if you really do want to believe that they're building something and moving forward, this is a game you win. And it shifts. The pressure on the Bears shifts a little bit. It's no longer the little engine that could. It's the team that should. And that is a completely different feeling going into a game with this group than we've seen in years. I mean, you might have to go back to when Trestman took over from Lovey to really find a point where the Bears, where you went in thinking, not a game where the Bears were favored, but where you thought, hey, this is a moment here. This is them making a statement. And it's really as much about the circumstance for the Packers as it is for the Bears.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, if you want to be 500 any part of the season, you have to win these next two games, because you know, as much as you consider and say the Niners are winless, you know, will they be at that point? We'll see. But you have after these two games with Green Bay here at home, and then you have the Lions, you get the Eagles, right? And the Eagles look like the real deal this year.
Right.
So now that's almost an impossibility. And I get you get four consecutive games with teams with losing records. But if you really want to feel coming out of the bye, you should have been able to self-scout. And as Dan Pompey said, that the temptation, and I would even say, I would urge, like Danny seemingly did in the conversation, to do some things with Trubisky this week, because that Packers defense is so porous and so poor that you would be tempted to open up the playbook for Trubisky and let him do some things that the teams haven't seen on tape and on film yet. But I'm with you, Mully. The likelihood is they're going to come out and keep it very close to the vest and be very conservative, because they do have to win this game. And they maybe don't believe in their heart of hearts they have the luxury to let the quarterback spread his wings a little bit here. That they do have to just pound the ball, keep it a short passing game, don't go downfield, even though you have the new receiver as part of your group and you might feel like you can do some things. You know, that your margin of error is so thin right now, you have to win this game. You can't overstate the importance of this game, win or lose, because if you want to make everyone start to believe that you're a better team and you're a competitive team and not just in name only, but by record, you got to win this game.
You lose this game, and we're back to where you were before the season even began. You're back to, how can you have this coach back? How can he bring the coordinator back? Who's going to take over from this team? Here's the list of guys that would be great Bears head coach. You're back to being, you know, from going to this confident, good feeling John Fox. You're back to this situation where everybody's kind of, you know, stumbling, bumbling, and you got to change everything. And you got, I don't think they have to win this year to retain their jobs, but I think they got to get to seven. Seven is in the mix for 500, right? Seven wins. You can argue that we're on the upswing. You know, look at what the Bears have done. Seven is the most wins we've had here in the last 3 years. We turned it around. We had, you know, six win team. We had to make some changes, and unfortunately, all the injuries dropped us to three wins. Now we're seven wins. We're going to be in the mix next year. We got the quarterback. We're moving forward. I think everybody, you can sell that to the public. If you get back to six wins, it becomes difficult to sell that to the public. If you end up with eight wins, it's easy to sell it. If you're anything below six wins, forget it.
Well, not only does this Packer team come in with a three-game losing streak, we all saw Monday night up at Lambeau Field.
Oh,
the Lions didn't punt.
Okay? It's off a bye.
Yeah, it's off a bye. And even though they opened up the game with a 15-play drive, they got the field goal blocked. I mean, nothing was going to go right from that night. So this team is more than just a shell of its former self because of Rodgers being out. So, you know.
And here's the thing. How did the Bears win? How did the Bears lose the first game at Lambeau when they played them? You know, you can talk about Rodgers all you want. They gave the ball away.
Yeah.
So they are not going to want to give the ball away at home. So I think that there will be a little bit of restraint on the quarterback. There will be a unwillingness to open things up completely. The danger with that is when you let a team stay in a game, then a team can possibly win a game, even a fluke play, whatever. You know, you got to be careful about the way you approach this. I'm hoping.
I'll take their field goal kicker over our field goal kicker.
Well, there you go.
And might come down to that.
I'm hoping that the Bears spent a lot of time Dow Logan's broke down tape of Houston and what were they doing with Deshaun Watson before he got injured. I hope that he's looking at what, you know, we don't, once you're in the season, you just get your nose pressed against a wall. You know, your vision, you're looking at life through a straw. You don't see a bigger picture. But if you have a bye week and you have some time, you can look and see what Philadelphia is doing and see what Kansas City are doing. All these teams are using elements of kind of some of the college offense that we're seeing. They're using elements of the sort of read option that this kid ran in college. If you saw, you know, the great 2-point conversion play, which is again historically maybe the greatest play ever in the Bears playbook since they shocked the nation with the T formation. If you ran a play like that during a game, what would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with running a read option type play just to mix it up, to give a different look, to make people think about something? Surely you have plays like that available to you. And then you got a quarterback now that is real good on the run, real good throwing accurately on the run. I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot that you could tap into that might help you win this game, but also might give people something to think about moving forward.
Speaking of Houston, you know, Bill O'Brien said, oh, yeah, we talked about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson.
I know.
I'm sorry. I never heard the guy's name before. He's 31 years old.
San Diego State, I believe. Yeah, Josh Johnson.
He's played two games.
He's another guy that can run. I think he was in the Arena League. What was the other league? Whatever the league was.
The one that
there are people who like him, believe it or not.
The He Hate Me League?
No, not the XFL.
The UFL?
The UFL. What year? I think it was the UFL.
But, I mean, yeah. He's 31.
Yeah, he used to play for the Sacramento Mountain Lions.
That's exactly right. That's where I know him.
You love them.
He played.
You know what? I knew a couple people connected to that group, and I knew about the guy.
He played for the Giants, Bills, Colts, and Niners over the last three seasons. Hasn't appeared in a game. But for the two, he played with the Bengals in 2013, and he gets signed by the Texans. And is it Matt McGloin?
Did you?
Yeah, they got rid of him.
Yeah.
Well, Bill O'Brien coached him at Penn State.
Oh, I know. That's the connection.
He signed him Friday.
That's why they signed him.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is all the stuff they were doing with Deshaun Watson. They went back to Tom Savage, and they didn't do any of that stuff
anymore.
Oh,
no.
So the Deshaun Watson plays are sitting there. And I get it. The Bears have no receivers, and I know. You don't have to text in that I'm an idiot for coming up with this if they have no receivers. They have players. They've got not great players. They have guys. They can run plays. You got to try to run some plays. Forget the whole game planning nonsense. Go Andy Reid on the thing and just run a series of plays. That guy seems to like collect plays and run plays. What the hell's wrong with that, Joe? I mean, they're not doing anything here to set up something or to move. You know, they're not doing anything from what I can tell. Why not try something?
They're in survival mode.
I keep double and triple checking this. The line moved to the Bears favored by 5.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yes, across
because everyone
the
saw the Monday night game.
Right.
Wow. Recency bias.
The Bears are favored by 5.
Wow.
Over an NFL team.
And you know what? I'm not saying that they shouldn't be, but yeah. The idea of the Bears covering 5 seems like a challenge.
Yeah, yes. When they
straight on their offense.
When they're averaging how many points? Averaging how many points a game?
Bears have been favored 5 times in the John Fox era. Not only have they not covered the spread, they've lost the game outright. They're 0-5 as favorites ATS. Now, forget about the spread.
Money
they've
line.
Lost the game.
Come on.
Money line.
I was about to say.
Teaser.
I was going to say smart money or sucker bet with the 5-point line, which could be 6 by tomorrow morning.
Right. They're just putting it in a place where, okay, you guys decide where it goes with the money. And, man, are people going to bet on the Bears?
Apparently so.
To win by a touchdown? Okay.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All righty, we're going to bring in Zach Zaidman to the conversation. We'll ask him about the buzz at Halas Hall and if the Bears, indeed 5-point favorites, are feeling it right now. And we'll also talk to him about David Haw's story. Boy, David Haw wrote a great story today. In your Chicago Tribune, talked to Olin Krutz and Fred Miller about the altercation between those two players a dozen years ago and compared and contrast with Bobby Portis and Nico Mirotic. Really good story and Zach was around for those days as well, so we'll mention that with him too. Mully and Hanley on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Oh, this is always a joy to hear this song, and you know what it means? It means our guy Zach Zaidman, we like to call him the Ginger Hair Genius for self-explanatory reasons, joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Your CarX man has the lowest tire prices right now. Zach, of course, our Bears expert and a man that will be in the new arena soon enough with DePaul basketball. Is it the Wintrust Arena, I believe?
Yes, that's correct.
Notre Dame coming in for the first game there, and Zach will be christening it with his dulcet tones. Congratulations, Zach. I'm glad you got that Notre Dame game done, and you got them coming in, and you got the new building. You deserve it, my friend.
I had nothing to do with it, but I'm excited to call the game, which you'll be able to hear on the Score 3 o'clock come Saturday afternoon after Illini football. Notre Dame, top 25 team.
Yeah.
They're not messing around this year. They're going at a really tough pace in terms of the non-conference opponents. A lot of big names on the schedule this season. But let's talk football, because to me, it's about the Bears and what they can do during the second half of the season. And I read somewhere in the Chicago Tribune, Mully, you wrote that this is a quest for mediocrity, and that would be a major improvement from what we've seen over the last few years.
That's not a shot. That's not meant to be a shot.
No. I understand what you're saying. You know, the Bears are 12-28 right now with this regime. So you're talking mediocrity. I prefer to call it a push for relevancy. And here's what I mean by that. Because in the NFL today, everything's changed with this new CBA. The first month of the season is essentially, to me, almost a feeling out period, an extension of the preseason, because starters no longer really play in the preseason, so they're trying to figure things out over the first month of the season. Then you kind of form your identity during the second quarter, and I think the Bears began to do that over the last month when they went 2-2 with Mitchell Trubisky taking over as the starting quarterback. Now you're jockeying for position, and if you are relevant after Thanksgiving, now you have a legitimate shot at making the playoffs. And with the parity that you have in the NFL today, the injury up in Green Bay, there's a legitimate opportunity. When you hear the Bears talk about going out there and putting themselves in a position to finish games, they really mean it. They believe they can win now. That's the difference between, say, the last couple of years coming out of the bye and this season. And the reason they believe it is if you start to take a look at the opponents they played in the first half of the season, you know, when, to me, you judge a good defense by points allowed, not necessarily yards allowed. And you start to take a look at the top 10 defenses in football in terms of fewest points allowed. The Bears have played five of the top 10 teams: Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Carolina, Baltimore, and New Orleans. That's pretty impressive that they came out of that with a 3-5 clip, with an opportunity now when you start to take a look at the easier part of your schedule. The Bears, they've struggled to score points. We know this. They're averaging fewer than 17 points per game. But there are five teams underneath them scoring fewer points, and three of those teams are still remaining on the Bears' schedule in the Bengals, the Browns, and the 49ers. So if they've learned some things in terms of being able to finish games, and what we can account for is how much is Mitchell Trubisky going to ascend based on what he's seen over his first four games. He could go the other way, but with a young player, you never quite know.
Well, Zach, that said, you come out of the bye week, and here's hoping the offensive line really got as healthy as it could get over that time off, so that they can give you the best shot to put points on the board. But from Dal Logans to Mitch Trubisky to adding a couple of receiver, or at least one receiver to that group, will we see a different offense with the Bears trying to do more things, or would that be the wrong thing to do?
I don't know necessarily different. What you'd like to see is a more efficient offense, meaning everyone in the building knows, Brian, that the Bears are trying to run the ball, and yet they're still ranked number six in the NFL
in rushing yards, and that's playing some of the defenses that I just mentioned. So to me, what that tells me is that you can now use that to your advantage. And how do you use it to your advantage? Play action off of influencing teams to try and stop the run. The reason I don't think they did a very good job of that in the first half of the season is, number one, they didn't have a lot of threats down the field because of injuries. Now, I'm not saying that Marcus Wheaton and Dontrell Inman, the new receiver that they acquired from San Diego, are all of a sudden going to result in major changes to the offense. But realistically, when you can run the ball as well as the Bears have run the ball, and you can play defense as well as the Bears have played defensively so far this season, and keep in mind, since Trubisky became the starter, they're allowing 16.7 points per game. And that counts the special teams touchdowns that were allowed in Baltimore. If you took that 16.7 points per game allowed, it would rank third best in football with all the other teams out there. Unfortunately for them, you have to score to win. Now, I do think that Inman comes in here, doesn't need as much time as some of the other receivers that you may have gotten from other teams, because there's a familiarity with the type of offense the Bears run because he played for Mike McCoy in San Diego, where he had a career year last year. Adam Gase learned from Mike McCoy. Dowell Loggins learned from Adam Gase. So the offenses are similar. You know, Marcus Wheaton does understand the offense. Now he's got to catch the ball and be healthy. Those are the big things for him. But I think all you're asking for are 3 to 5 pass plays a game down the field,
right,
where you change the dynamic in terms of how teams defend you. Now, it's difficult because the Bears, that's been a lot to ask of the Bears based on what they've had so far. But I do think that now that teams have an idea of what Mitchell Trubisky is about, you can use that against these teams. They're trying to take away the edges so they can't cut the field in half and kind of move the pocket a little bit. Use that to your advantage, and I think that's some of the changes that we'll see initially from the Bears.
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting situation they find themselves in, where I guess the point spread was 3 when it opened. You get 3 for being at home. It's now 5, Zach. So money's coming in on the Bears in this game. I think people saw what the Packers did on Monday Night Football. You know, I know point spreads don't matter when we're breaking down football games, but it tells you what the public thinks. And I think it's fascinating that the Bears are in a position now where they are favored to win a football game, which we have not seen in a while around here. And I think that the interesting thing about being favored is that, you know, this is a flawed team that's coming in here. They don't have the quarterback. He was covering a lot of mistakes. They don't play particularly good defense. They don't run the ball all that well, and they've never been a good special teams team. So it would seem like there's a reason the Bears are favored, and it's all about taking care of business. Nothing would really bring down that mood more than dropping this game. This becomes a really important game just for the franchise.
Yes. I just think from, and this goes back to, you call it mediocrity, I call it relevancy. You have the upper hand here just based on the fact that Packers were playing in a short week. And I think it's a great respect to the Bears defense. A lot of what you're seeing here, forget just from a football standpoint, forget about the entertainment odds here, but just from a football standpoint, the Bears took on 6 of their first 8 opponents had quarterbacks that had led a team to a Super Bowl. And you look at what the Bears were able to do from a defensive standpoint, not allowing these teams to really blow the doors off. The only time it happened was in Green Bay and in Tampa Bay, and it wasn't really the defense's fault. It was the fact that by the second quarter of both of those games, they were out of it because of the Bears' self-inflicted wounds, those turnovers. So when they didn't turn the ball over, they put themselves in an opportunity to win these games against these really good quarterbacks late. And, you know, you're a catch against Atlanta from being 4-4. If you handle the ball a little bit better against Minnesota and New Orleans, who knows where you'd be during this point of the season. So that's where I think that respect comes from. And, you know, Green Bay has struggled mightily to put points on the board ever since Aaron Rodgers went down. So, yeah, I think there's an opportunity here to do some things. But ultimately, you have to make it happen. And I think that includes making big plays late in the game. I think you need a little bit more in terms of your passing game. But as we've seen, these are not things that are foreign to the Bears. It's just a matter of correctly executing them. And I think these are realistic things to ask of this team to do.
Normally, a head coach doesn't go into the last year's contract without a commitment or extension from the team. And we were talking about this the other day. Given his age and where he's at in his career, would that be that unusual, or would that be that uncomfortable if John Fox, if they just said, hey, let's just, you know, you come back next year and we'll revisit this at the end of the term of the contract? Or do you think that would be kind of the lame duck coaching that would have negative repercussions?
I find it funny that at the beginning of the year, if the Bears had announced that John Fox would not be back, I don't think anyone would have complained. And now we're all of a sudden debating whether or not he should be back with 8 games to go. And we just talked about how favorable the Bears' schedule is.
And he seems pretty relaxed. I mean, he seems like he's pretty, you know, I don't know, comfortable where the team is at this point.
He always talks about how they get paid a lot of money to endure these types of conversations that we have. So maybe that's where the relaxation comes from. And the fact that, you know, he's, according to him, he's been doing this for a minute. I would stress, let's pump the brakes on John Fox's future right now, because there's so much that can happen during this second half of the season. I think there, you know, I've heard people tell me that, you know, if you take away Peyton Manning's 3 years that Fox had him in Denver, that his record is 93-107. So that's something to consider. I think he's done a good job with this team. I think the fact that they, when they're sort of healthy, and we saw this in year number one, they'll fight. And just the way his philosophy, his style of football will always keep you in the games. Last year was an aberration, 19 guys on IR, so we understand he never really had an opportunity. But again, we're seeing some of the signs this year. I love the fact that you're beginning to see a young core from the defensive standpoint. But again, it's still a team that's 3-5, 12-28 over the last 3 years, and a team that's averaging fewer than 17 points per game. Let's see how the second half plays out before we decide. And to answer your question, no, I don't think you have to automatically give a guy an extension at the end of the year. I think John Fox is well-respected inside the locker room by his players. And usually the reason that you would give an extension to a coach before his deal is up is because you want to make sure that the players know who's the boss. I think the players know that John Fox is the boss as long as he's the head coach of the Bears.
All righty, Zach, great catching up with you. We'll look forward to the DePaul game on Saturday at 3:00 here on The Score, and of course the big football game on Sunday.
And a live Bears All Access tonight, 6:00.
Oh, my God. Why did I let that one fall by the wayside? Damn it, Zach, I'm sorry.
Be good, man.
Oh, it's my guy.
Our visit with Zach brought to us by Webb Ford. For a great deal on Fords in the Chicago area, visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana.
Dustin, why wasn't that in front of me?
You buried the lead.
Damn it. Molly and Hanley on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.